For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is going on? It is the Ethos Clippers podcast coming at you here on Wednesday evening after the Los Angeles Clippers somehow, someway pull off a win in Philadelphia thanks to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's heroics in the fourth quarter. Can't say they did a whole lot in the previous three quarters, but hey, we will take it. And by we, that is me at BD Marcus. I had to forget, or I almost forgot my Twitter handle, and I almost forgot my name, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, Matt Matawarn, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus, how the heck are you? I remember your name. I remember your Twitter handle. I remember going out with friends way back in the day, before I was married and before I lived this lovely, quiet, quaint life with my wife, about to have a baby. And I remember going out, having a few drinks, having some fun. And you go and you do something a little silly, a little crazy, and you almost get caught. And the next morning you say, wow, wasn't last night great? Can you imagine if we got caught? Well, wasn't that game great that the Clippers just won? Can you imagine if they got caught and had lost? Because we'd be in a far different mood.
That is true. That is very true. The Clippers obviously got absolutely trounced by Indiana a couple of days ago, and they came in tonight. If you remember, I said that this might have been one of the couple games in the final 3 weeks of March where they could have been underdog. They came into this one as a 6-point favorite in Philadelphia, which was absolutely mind-boggling to me, considering how poorly they had played, and given the fact that Philly just beat their doors off in LA, and nothing had changed. And so I was stunned by that line, and the Clippers did not cover, to nobody's surprise, especially yours truly. But listen, a win is a win, and they got a much-needed W against Philadelphia. I don't know how to feel about this one. I really don't, and it's a weird position I'm in, because you can look at it a couple of ways. The first way is the positive way, that the Clippers were down by 15 and came back again and showed that they do not quit. And you can look at it the other way, that it's another game where the Clippers go down by double digits. And I believe at home, they've been down by double digits in 10 of the last 12 games. And now here we are on the road where they have to pull off another double-digit comeback against a team that does not have their best player. And the Clippers are fully healthy. And I don't know how to feel about it. I don't know whether I should feel good because they came back, or I should feel bad because they were in this situation in the first place, when they had no business being in that situation. How should I feel right now, Matt?
I think the only way you can feel, or really, is to feel good, because you... Okay, of course, if Joel Embiid was in there, the Clippers probably just would have got rocked.
Yeah.
Just the way that it was so close. But in that really far-fetched analogy that I made about going out with your friends, you know, you can either dwell on acting so stupid that you almost got arrested, but you didn't. So now you can, you know, change behavior, take this as a positive and steps to move forward and not do those stupid things again. As opposed to if you had gotten caught, or if the Clippers had lost, you're in jail, or the Clippers are one step closer to the play-in. So I think the way to move forward, and, you know, we can nitpick, and I'm sure we will as the episode moves forward, about how the Clippers fell into some old habits defensively, especially at first. They were not there. I mean, there was a couple of plays where the lack of communication was just, I mean, it was crazy. There was a maxi three where it was Russ and I forget who else, but maybe Terrence Mann, no communication, maybe it was Coffee, no communication whatsoever. So you can dwell. I'm going to choose, and far be it for me to tell you how to feel, Brandon, or to tell anybody how to feel. I'm going to choose to take this as a positive, and hopefully just the fact that it's in the win column on the road can maybe galvanize the guys. Maybe Kawhi Leonard's block at the end, maybe this sort of these guys like, see, we're not soft. See, Ty Lue, look, we're not soft. So I got to take it as a positive.
Yeah, I mean, they showed fight, which is, I mean, you got to obviously tip your cap to them. And they actually, after the first quarter, which was miserable, I think they scored 18 points in that first quarter. They finally got their act together a little bit. I mean, here's what's weird about this team. The offense at times can look really good. And then when the offense is good, the defense would look terrible. And then when the defense is good, the offense looks terrible. It just seems like the Clippers haven't really found that balance that they had during that 31-game streak when they were 26-5. And obviously, early on, the second chance points was pathetic. I mean, the rebounding was pathetic. I could have sworn I saw somebody tweet that Zoo did not have a rebound in the first half. I can't believe that's true. But if it is, goodness gracious. I mean, he had 4 total rebounds in 27 minutes, which is absolutely pathetic. You and I have talked about certain dudes and how their lack of rebounding. And remember how we said Terrence Mann had 1 rebound? He had 7 today. PG, remember how we were saying how he was a career low in rebounds going back to, I believe, his first year, his rookie year? He had 10 rebounds today. Kawhi had 9 rebounds today. So at least other guys besides Verzu were chipping in and rebounding. And that really happened in the second half where the Clippers were able to attack the glass. And they didn't turn over the basketball much at all. I think they had only 1 turnover after the first quarter. I'm pretty sure they had 5 turnovers in the first quarter, and then they ended with 6. So they took care of the basketball, and they rebounded. And what do you know? You take care of the basketball, and you rebound, and you win ball games. And that's despite some god-awful shooting. And, of course, Kawhi Leonard, who was absolutely miserable for the first 3 quarters. I mean, you look at what his numbers were, and you'd be absolutely godsmacked. I mean, I you talk about fantasy on this podcast. I've got Kawhi, and he single-handedly tanked my field goal percentage, but he gave me a little bit of life because, goodness gracious, he was 3-for-15 going into that fourth quarter, and he had 10 points on 4-of-4 shooting and a couple of blocks in that fourth quarter. PG had 11 points on 4-of-8 shooting, and overall for the game, he was 7-of-18, so he was 3-of-10 going into that fourth quarter. So I think the Clippers found the recipe in the fourth quarter, but the issue is, why did it take that long? And I don't know. Did they find their identity? Like James Harden said after the last game, the Clippers don't have an identity. So here we go again with another player saying the Clippers don't have an identity. So I don't know. Listen, I'm happy they came back. It's frustrating that it got to this point. I think that's where I really lie right now, Matt, is that why did it take until the fourth quarter for Kawhi to start really hitting his shots and PG hitting his shots? And why did it take until the second half for the Clippers to start rebounding the basketball? And why did it take until this game for the Clippers to stop turning over the basketball? Like, at least there's signs of things that maybe the Clippers can carry over, and only time will tell if they're able to actually carry that over to the next game.
I totally agree. There were glimpses of their identity in this game, specifically in that fourth quarter. Like you were saying, you know, the lack of turnovers after the first quarter debacle was very encouraging. I think so. To speak to the looking forward aspect of this win and how it can benefit the team, and why, of course, winning is a positive, but why we shouldn't dwell on just eking out this victory, you know, by the skin of their teeth. Because maybe this is how, when they started to lose after the All-Star break or just before it, and you and I were talking about, well, is this indicative of things to come, or is this just a blip on the radar? Well, maybe we can think about this in the opposite, to where when they can have moments like they did in the fourth quarter, and they can find these ways to win, like we said earlier in the season, this team is just finding ways to win. You know, there were games that they would blow the opponent out. There were games where they would come back after losing or being down by 20 several times. So, and you know, that was their identity in a sense, being scrappy, being tough, never giving up, and finding ways to win. And they did that again tonight. So maybe, just maybe, it's a sign of things to come in that regard, where they can sort of build upon this very small, very teeny tiny building block and get back to the things that we were seeing when they were on that 25-6 run, when they were dominating the league, when everybody was considering them the biggest threat to Denver in the West. Why did it take so long for them to get into their rhythm in this game. Why did they get, why they lose to the Pacers? Why they get blown out by the Sixers the last time? It honestly does have to do with effort. It does have to do with just being kind of confused about their identity. It does have to do with rebounding woes. Yes, of course, taking care of the ball in this game was huge. I mean, there's a myriad of factors that contribute to it. And the only thing I can say is that, conversely from what we were saying before, where the bad habits were hopefully not an indication of things to come, and of course they were, maybe the good habits in this fourth quarter are hopefully an indication of things to come.
Yeah, hopefully. And you talked about identity, and you built on what I was saying. And listen, the Clippers' identity is James Harden being a facilitator and getting the offense when he has his spots. And early on, he carried the Clippers. I think he had 11 points at halftime, and he was the reason why they were still in the game. And he finished with 14 assists and one turnover. That's the recipe, Matt. I mean, that is very simply the recipe to success, is having your point guard in James Harden creating and getting 14 assists and one turnover. Like, that is an insane assist to turnover ratio, and that's what you want from him. And the recipe is having Terrence Mann chip in off when you need him with 14 points. The recipe is having Zoo contribute with 11 points on 5-of-7 shooting. Now, PG and Kawhi shot better, the Clippers probably run away with this game, but they didn't, and they were still able to win the ball game. So that's, I think, where I'm going to end up coming down on this game in terms of where I feel, is that if Kawhi and PG shoot better, the Clippers run away with this ball game, and they got everything else that they needed. In the second half, they got the rebounds they needed. They took care of the basketball. James Harden did what he needed to do as a facilitator. Terrence Mann chipped in. Norm Powell had a couple of monster shots in the fourth quarter. I mean, he only had, I think, one or two buckets going into that fourth quarter. Amir Coffey chipped in with three threes. Like, that's the recipe that we've talked about. Remember when they won 26-5, when they went 26-5 in those 31 games, the recipe was Amir Coffey chipping in, Norm Powell chipping in, and the starters doing well. Like, that happened tonight. And it's crazy to look at the numbers today and see the Clippers only scored 108 points, when 108 is nothing in today's NBA. But the reason they only won by one and they only scored 108 is because James Harden, Kawhi, and PG all didn't shoot very well. And the Clippers missed six free throws as well, and they didn't rebound very well in the first half, and they scored 18 points in the first quarter. I mean, you take away the 18 points in the first quarter, they went 28, 29, 33. Like, that is basically a pace of scoring about 120 points in a ball game. So apart from that first quarter, the Clippers may have found something in those final three frames.
I mean, let's hope so. 108, and they win this game. They score 107 and lose to Philly last Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then they score 116 and lose to the Pacers, you know, on Monday. So it's not as if they're scoring gangbusters in any of these games. So something obviously was a little amiss there. And you said, yeah, 108 is nothing in today's game. So the shot gets corrected. The efficiency comes back, because you're right. Missing, going, 14 of 20 from the line is, it's not exactly Clipper-esque, or at least what we were seeing during that dominant stretch. But one thing you did mention is Kawhi Leonard, how poorly he shot, and just, you know, he was inefficient. He brought it back during the end there, but he was the guy with four offensive rebounds, right? And he had two blocks, huge blocks, mm-hmm. coming through in the clutch. And so when we were talking about if I believe in this Clippers team, should they go against the Pelicans or whoever in a first round matchup? And my big thing was they still have Kawhi Leonard. He is still that guy that can be the best player in just about any, if not any, playoff series. And granted, of course, you know, this is against the Sixers without Embiid, but heck, they just, like I said, they just blew out the Clippers last Sunday, and they were about to beat them again. So I do think having Kawhi, and it's just reiterates my point, or at least makes me feel a little stronger in that, I think with him on the team, this is a reason to feel confident moving forward, and especially as we are rapidly approaching the playoffs, which we have to cross our fingers the Clippers will be in.
Yeah, and they do have probably the best player on the floor in a lot of these series, and you have been all over that when you've said that with the Clippers in terms of Kawhi Leonard, and God willing he stays healthy, because he fell to the floor a couple of times, and you gasped because you were a little concerned about what was going on, and was he okay? I mean, he was flexing that wrist, it looked like, after that fall to tie the ball game. And I thought for a second he was going to miss the free throw, because with the wrist bothering him, I was a tad concerned that he may have been bothered by it. But he wasn't, and he was able to make the free throw, which was huge. And the Clippers, all of a sudden, are able to escape with a victory, which you'll certainly take. We have a lot more, obviously, we'll cover on this ball game, but first, let's take a quick break.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so here's where we are right now with this Clippers team. We are looking at a team that's healthy. We're looking at a team that has hopefully one of the best players on the floor at all times in Kawhi Leonard. We have a guy in Paul George who can be super hit or miss. We have James Harden, who is the facilitator, and he can chip in at times. It was really good to see him, by the way, at least take some shots today, given that he had one whole three-point attempt in the game against Indiana. It was the first time he had had less than 2 3-point attempts since he left Oklahoma City. Law Murray pulled that one out from The Athletic. And so he took, in this ball game, 9 threes. He went 3 of 9. So we're still looking for the Harden to start shooting better. But again, it's the things that you want. You want Kawhi taking shots late. You want Kawhi being that defensive dude. You want PG chipping in defensively and hitting those threes. He had 5 threes today. You want Harden facilitating. Maybe we're on the right track here. I'm not going to go ahead and count that as a major win. I mean, the Clippers barely be a team without Joel Embiid. But I think that we're starting to see something. And you mentioned it earlier, and I think it's worth expanding on a little bit, is that Kawhi's defense. I mean, he had been a guy that I frankly hadn't done enough, in my opinion. And for a guy that's being labeled as one of the top two-way guys in the NBA, it was nice to see him actually chip in when the Clippers need it badly. And so maybe he's able to kick it up a notch down the stretch, knowing how important he is to this team.
He can, and so actually you got me thinking about something about how these players are hopefully starting to find themselves and will start playing hard and with the fervor that they were playing when they were really, really dominating the league. But the Clippers have really gotten themselves, and you mentioned health too, which is obviously a huge thing. We don't even know. Hopefully James Harden's shoulder is okay, and maybe that's why he shot a few more of those threes. Or maybe he was just responding to the booze. I don't know. Booze as in what the crowd was saying, not any beverages he may have had with his friends and going out. I believe that the Clippers did, they put themselves in a sticky situation here, not just record-wise, but speaking of health, now they do have to play every game like it's a playoff game, like this game against Philadelphia, whereas if they had won some of these games, the game against the Pacers, go down the list of the last 20, 21 games, some of those ones that they lost that they probably could have and should have won, now they do have to play guys 36, 34, 39 minutes per ball game. Whereas maybe if the Clippers had taken care of business earlier, and of course it's coulda, woulda, shoulda, but they're in a position now where health is at a premium, and these guys are just, quite frankly, going to have to play minutes in order to maintain the standings that the Clippers want to be in and to regain some sort of momentum that has obviously been lost. So it's in that regard, it is a bit troubling. And of course, we'll take the win. Yeah, and I want to take it as a positive, but just you mentioned health. You mentioned Kawhi. You mentioned Harden, and I just started thinking about how hard they played tonight and how great it was. But then I started thinking about how hard they're going to have to play seemingly in the remainder of this regular season, which could be a little troubling.
Yeah, that's a good point. 39 minutes for Harden is a lot. I mean, they are really starting to run these guys into the ground, and you wonder if they're still going to have it down the stretch into the playoff run. The good thing is, we mentioned it last pod, that probably in order to avoid the play-in, the Clippers need to go, I would say, something like 6-6 in the final 12. They lost to Indiana, and then they won today. So now the Clippers have 10 games left. So I would assume they got to go 5-5 to avoid that play-in. And it may, at this point, actually be even less than that because they're 3 games up. So even if Sacramento goes, let's say, 7-3, the Clippers will have to go 4-6 in order for that situation to even be an issue. And so same thing goes with Phoenix, who's 3 games behind the Clippers right now. As we record this podcast, the Suns are playing. So the Clippers only need to win against Utah and Charlotte, basically, and they should be okay. You win one more game and you should be fine and avoid the play-in. Now, the 5 and the 6 seed, you and I have talked about how the 5 seems inevitable at this point. They may be one game up on New Orleans, but I'm not buying it yet. I just don't think they played well enough. But that being said, if they're able to take what they did in the final 3 quarters today and they bring that into their next game against a Magic team that is pretty solid, then maybe they've got something that they can hang their hat on, because then they go and play Charlotte, who can be pesky, but there's no reason why the Clippers can't win the next 2 games against the Magic and the Hornets. Sacramento will be a little bit tougher. I mean, Sacramento beat the living crap out of the Clippers at the game that I was at Crypto, and then you got the Nuggets after that. So we're going to see some up and down roller coaster rides with this Clippers team, I think, down this stretch. I don't think that all of a sudden this is going to be roses, because you may win the next 2 ball games, and even then you may not. But then you face the Kings, the Nuggets, and the Cavs in 3 of the next 4, and then you have back-to-back against the Suns right after that. So we may get to the final 2 games, and the Clippers desperately need to beat the Jazz and the Rockets to avoid that 6th spot or be in the play-in game or whatever. But I think it's possible. It's just today was a big win, but I'm not going and running around the neighborhood naked yet. I mean, I really think that I think we need to hold off on Will Ferrell streaking and see what happens in the next few ball games.
Okay, but when you do get to the point of running around the neighborhood naked, yeah, just let us know. Okay. Tweet it out. We'll all be waiting for that. I do think the play-in, especially with this win, this was really huge. The play-in is going to be, they really have to crater. The good thing about the Suns and the Pelicans is their schedules aren't exactly cake either. I didn't look up the Kings, but I mean the Pels have the Bucks, the Celtics. They also play the Magic coming up here in their final stretch of games. They do play the Kings, they play the Suns, they play the Warriors, they play the Lakers. So all teams that will be playing for something. So the Pelicans will also have to not pitch a perfect game, but they'll have to have a pretty strong finish, as will the Clips, though, because except for maybe the Jazz, and who knows where the Rockets will be at the final game of the season, but every other team, and the Hornets, Jazz and the Hornets, like you said, every other team really is playing for something. I mean, you look at the next game against Orlando, they're fighting to get home court in the first round of the playoffs. Well, speaking of playoffs, You mentioned Kawhi on your fantasy squad. So unless it's a roto league, this must mean you're in the final.
Yes.
The final week.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations, man! There you go.
Yes, and
you did it. And this made it to the finals.
Yeah, and this is a big money league too. So I've already secured 6 bills, but trying to get to that final 9 bills. And so this is going to be a dogfight. But as of now, I am losing 5-4, which is not enjoyable. And one of the categories I'm losing is field goal percentage, and I'm barely losing field goal percentage. So yeah, it's not great, not enjoyable, especially when Chet Holmgren decides to foul out and get a grand total of 2 points. And OKC, by the way, is going to lose in overtime to Houston. So you talk about a team that is certainly making noise, and there's a reason why I have not included the Rockets when I've been discussing how you need to beat the Jazz twice and you need to beat the Hornets, because the Rockets are very difficult, and all of a sudden they are right there next to the Golden State Warriors, who frankly needed to win today badly and did at Orlando. If they would have lost that ball game after Draymond was tossed within a couple minutes, then all of a sudden Houston would actually be tied with Golden State, I believe, in the standings, and the Lakers got a big win against Memphis as well. So Houston may be playing for something in that final game. If they're not, it may be an easier win. But if they are, then things might be a little more difficult. I mean, they'd won 9 in a row going into this OKC game. So now it's 10 games in a row. So each game you think may be easy, it's not on the Clippers' schedule. I mean, apart from the two games against Utah, where Utah's actively trying to lose at this point, and the game against Charlotte, there's not an easy game on the schedule. So it's going to be tough the rest of the way, Matt.
And how about this Texas two-step? You talk about Houston. Well, look at the Mavs, who are surging. They're 9-1 in their last 10, just like the Rockets. Mm-hmm. And they're in that mix to, you know, climb over the Pelicans in a 4-5 matchup, even climb to 4 to have home court advantage. Let's say the Clippers finish 5, Dallas finishes 4th, and we have to go to Dallas in the first round. I mean, it's really jumbled right there. And home court advantage really actually may be important in this first round. I think especially against the Mavs, they just have a raucous crowd. So we got those two Texas teams, the last game of the season against the Rockets. I bet they will have something to play for. And then the Mavericks, you just got to keep an eye on them as far as playoff seeding in that top six is concerned. So our head is going to be on a swivel. You know, we thought maybe a month ago or 3 weeks, all right, top four is set. We'll be somewhere in there, the Clippers. We were saying that one day when the Clippers were in first. But now, heads on a swivel, Clippers really got to focus in and really just pay attention to their surroundings, because it is jumbled and people are nipping at their heels, and it is going to be a fascinating last 10 games of the season.
Yeah, and by the way, in that game, Jalen Green, 37 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. That dude's been absolutely out of his goddamn mind the last several ball games. And Thompson had 25 and 15 for Houston. So they're a tough team. They're young, they're eager. They're the exact opposite of the Clippers team, where the Clippers just want to get to the playoffs and they're old. The Rockets are hungry. So obviously we have a couple more weeks until we get to that ball game, but still, they're one game back of Golden State, and so they may need that game on the final game of the season. But we've got a couple games ahead that are more important, obviously, than that final ball game. Magic on Friday, and then the Hornets on Sunday. Not sure when we're going to get a podcast out for you next. We'll either get one for you Friday night after the Magic game with me and Matt, or we'll get one to you Sunday night, and it'll be me with a special guest. So we will see when that occurs. No more new reviews to go over. So, of course, let you know that you can follow Matt at MattMattaWarren on X/Twitter. I am at BDMarcus. Ethos Clippers Podcast is there as well. You can always give us that 5-star rating and review the podcast. Any final words, my friend?
Just a quick question about Friday's game against the Magic. I just want your quick thoughts, because you mentioned the Rockets as being this long, young, hungry team. Well, hello, Magic. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be just a huge test. And quickly, in less than 20 seconds, what do we think?
I'm a little concerned. I'm concerned by the defense that guys like Jalen Suggs can provide on the perimeter, Markel Fultz as well. Jonathan Isaac has really been good the last couple ball games. And Franz Wagner and Ben Caro are tough, man. So I think it's going to be a dogfight, and the Clippers should win just based on talent. But I wouldn't be surprised they lose going up against Suggs, Fultz, Wagner, Banchero, Carter, Isaac, Cole Anthony. I mean, Joe Ingles, the a-hole himself, will certainly be going up against Kawhi Leonard. So we'll see if Kawhi has some revenge in his back pocket or if the Clippers just falter. I don't know. What about you?
I do think it's going to be really going to be a test for the Clippers. And this game, I think even more than the win tonight, you know, the close win tonight against the Sixers, this will be, if the Clippers can win this game, second game of this road trip, this will be a building block. This will be the one where it's maybe we're getting back onto the road. We're stop veering into the median. We're going to get back here on the road, back on track. I think this is a huge game as far as getting the Clippers mojo and getting the rest of the season back on track as we move towards the playoffs. So I'm really looking forward to it. Huge test. The Magic are a great team, and this is going to be a great game.
Yeah, massive game, no doubt about that. We got a huge one ahead. We'll see how the Clippers perform in that ball game. Until next time, he's Matt, I'm Brandon, and go Clips.
Go Clips.
With Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.